All right. Good morning, church. I love it when God prepares the way before me, when I know I've heard God to prepare a message for the church. I've titled today's lesson, "I Will Give You Rest," and it's going right along with the music and devotions, that just the way God always does. I thank Him for it. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Sometimes in life we get bogged down. We have trouble. All of you know that that life brings trouble in many different ways. And we've got family today that's mourning. And so we mourn with her, with Charlotte and their family. And I don't know, most of you probably already know, but this afternoon we're having a celebration of life for Shane, for the family. So if you can come and share in that time, that would be awesome. But it's just, sometimes we really need each other a lot. And we need the rest and the peace of the Lord. So let's pray and we'll get into our lesson today. Father, we thank You for speaking, Lord, to the church. Father, give us ears to hear today. Lord, I ask You that I'll not get in Your way, Lord, but that You'll use my voice to speak today. Father, that You'll have Your way in all that we do. Father, that I'll not get in Your way, but that I'll allow You to move and do what You want to do today. Father, to You be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin today in John chapter 16. John 16, and I'm going to begin in verse 25. So let's just read these verses 25 through 33 today as we begin. It says, "Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world, and now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things, and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "You believe at last," Jesus answered, "but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." So these words from John 16 are part of, I found in my little Draw Near to God book, this week that John 14 through 17 is a section of Scripture that theologians refer to as the farewell discourse. So Jesus knows that he's close to the end. He knows that his time on earth is short. And the other amazing part to me of this was the fact that God chose this for us today in this time of sorrow, in this time of hurt. But it's 2 weeks till Easter. 2 weeks till Easter, till Jesus' crucifixion. So what a better time for us to hear these words as well. Because he's in the end of his time on earth, and he's leading up to his burial and resurrection, the crucifixion. At this point in the biblical narrative, Jesus is just hours from going to the cross. These chapters record the last conversations that Jesus had with his disciples before Calvary. Jesus knew his disciples were fearful. He knew they didn't understand the magnitude of what was about to take place. Because he loved these followers, he wanted to prepare them for his physical absence. The truths that Jesus spoke to those disciples apply to us as modern-day believers as well. Although we won't be faced with the horror of watching Jesus Christ walk the road to Golgotha, we will experience changes that will wound us and leave us reeling. So when Jesus said to his disciples, "In me you may have peace," that promise was for us too. But notice that he said, "In me you may have peace." There is no peace apart from Jesus. Yes, this world will send us troubles, but remember, Jesus has already overcome the world. So as I was just going down through these verses and meditating on them, seeing what the Lord had for us in this today, the first thing I found there was in verse 25, he said there'll be no more figures of speech. He's telling them plainly from here on. He said, I'm just going to tell you plainly. Be honest with you. I don't know why he used parables in the Bible. Why that some of them didn't understand, and he made it so they didn't understand. Where the scholars and the men of the law, a lot of them didn't understand what Jesus was saying, but he made it simple enough that children could understand it. I love seeing the children up in front this morning again. It's just when we can begin to think and reason as a child, trust as a child, I should say, then we really start to understand the heart of God. It's a simple thing to believe in Jesus and to walk in his ways, but to think like a child and to reason like a child. They have no reason to doubt their parents. And we have no reason to doubt our Father either. But sometimes our intellect and our brains get in the way, don't they? The second thing that I saw there was in verse 26. He said, "You'll ask in Jesus' name." He said, "I don't have to go to the Father for you now." Said, "You can ask." And I don't think we ever realize the power in Jesus' name. I'm not going to go through all the verses. There's a lot of different verses in the New Testament that talk about in the name of Jesus, to do things in the name of Jesus, to ask for things in the name of Jesus. And the power in his name is so phenomenal. just flip over a couple pages to John 20:31. There's another verse there that's close that I am going to look at. John 20:31 says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." So our very life comes from the name of Jesus. Because of His name, because of who He was, because of His love for us and His love with the Father. The third thing I found was God's love for us. Verse 27 says, "May the Father Himself loves you because you have loved Me and have believed that I came from Him." So it's all about believing, isn't it? It's all about believing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Me shall have everlasting life." So it's about believing that God loves us that much. And then the fourth thing I found there was that Jesus and the Father are one, the unity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They're the same person, the same being. And the fifth thing I found was there at the end is we can rest in Him because He has overcome the world. No matter what trouble comes our way, we can trust Him for the outcome. Most of you know some of the troubles that I've been through, some of the hardships. Those were things that taught me that I can trust Him. Without the troubles, without the hard things that we go through in life, how do we learn to trust God? Maturity, age has something to do with it. How long that you've spent with the Father has a lot to do with how much that you trust Him. So that's why I implore you young people to begin your walk with the Lord at an early age. Just begin to read the Word, spend time with the Father, and learn to love Him and trust Him in all that you do. Without Jesus, we are nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 11 now. Matthew 11 has the verses that I actually used to get started with today's sermon. We're just going to be looking at 25 through 30 today of chapter 11, Matthew. And mine's entitled "Rest for the Weary." It says in verse 25, "At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father." And this is Jesus speaking here. It's in red in my Bible. "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him." 28 and 29 is, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So when I was growing up, we always had draft horses on the farm where we were. Then Dad liked horses. He grew up farming with horses, and he liked to continue that. So he always had horses, and oftentimes we would hitch them to an implement and do work with the horses. And if when you put the yoke or the harness on the horses, it hooks two or three or four horses together so that they pull as a team. It's the best way for me to describe to you the yoke that we have with the Father, that He's pulling for you. He is pulling with you, making the load easier for you. And probably the other best way to describe it is through the footprints in the sand when He's carrying you. I've heard some of the others mention that as well. And it just, there's often times that we don't feel like going. Just don't feel like you can go anymore. And the Father will actually pick you up and carry you through that hard place that you're in. But I noticed that when Dad was training horses and teaching them to pull together, they didn't always do it. And what that does is it leaves everything on the one person. But when they're pulling as a team, when they're pulling together, it makes the load half as heavy. And so it's nice to know that we have a Father that wants to be yoked together with us and carry our load, help to carry our load. Because sometimes it gets too big for us to carry. It's one of the reasons I enjoy Sunday school so much here is because Sunday school is a time when we share with one another a lot of the things that are going on in our lives, and we pray together and lift each other up, and I still need that. It's an awesome time. So I thank all of you who make the effort to come early for Sunday school, to share in that time, because I thank you for helping to carry the load. As elders, we need your prayers. I didn't really know the scope of what God had in store for us here. When the last pastor resigned, and I told the guys that I think God wants us to lead the church. I'm starting to see what it is to lead a body, the Church of Christ, to have that responsibility. And I take it because it's where God wants it to be. There may come a time, we don't know, when we hire another pastor. He's not told us to do that yet. If He tells you that, well, let us know. But I'm sure that He'll probably tell us first, because we're the ones that He chose to lead the church now. So thank God for that. You know, the best example that I could find for someone in trouble was David and Goliath, and I wanted to end with that today. Let's go back into 1 Samuel 17. I was just praying and asking the Father what else He wanted me to share, and He brought this to my mind. And as I was reading, I'm not going to read the whole thing because there's so much to this story. about David and Goliath. And if you can imagine, so here's a young man. He's out tending the sheep. He's the youngest of the family. So his brothers are off with Saul in the battle. His three older brothers are there with as warriors in the battle. They're there. Every day, Goliath comes out in the valley. So they're on apparently on two mountains on each side up high. Goliath comes down every day and challenges them, defies the God that they serve and challenges them to come, send someone down to fight with me. He's a big guy. What, 8 or 9 feet tall, I suppose. He's pretty big. And imagine David coming. So his father sent him to bring him food, to check on his brothers and bring him food. And so he came up to the battle lines, and he heard Goliath's challenge. He's just a little guy. When Samuel was going to anoint one of the brothers of Jesse there, he was thinking of all the others because they were bigger and more handsome, and David was the youngest and smaller, and he was out tending the flocks. They had to go bring him in to even for Samuel to see him. And so here he's going from tending the sheep to the battlefront. He's never been in a war. And he's come to the battle there with his brothers. 2 Samuel 17, I want to begin in verse 37. I don't have that many verses in 17. Oh, it's 1 Samuel, I'm in 2. Sorry, guys. 1 Samuel 17. Verse 37. The Lord, this is where David comes out. He says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So it wasn't that David hasn't been tried before. As he watched the sheep, God protected him. And as he killed the lion and the bear who were coming for his sheep. And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off, and he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bow in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" The Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all you into our hands. So, Jesus knew who His God was. He knew that he could trust God because he'd been tried by God. He had seen trouble. He had seen the lion and the bear coming to take the flock, and was able to, with the Lord's help, take care of those problems. God knows what you're going through as well. He knows every time that you're in trouble, that you're walking through something that you can't handle. And He, in every circumstance, will make a way. Not that you don't have to go through it, but He'll make a way with His help to get through it. So today, as we finish up, as the praise team comes and sings the final song, if you have any kind of prayer needs today, anything that you'd like us to pray with you about, we'd love to do that. If any of you have never accepted the Lord as your Savior, and you'd like to do that this morning, we want to also give time for that. So we welcome you as well. Just make this time yours. Allow God to minister to you however you need today.